The calendar is a funny thing. There's a precise moment at which the date changes, the month changes, and the year changes. Just because it still feels like Sunday doesn't mean we can sleep in and skip Monday. And even if it snows on June 1st or we have a 72-degree day in January, we don't argue that the month is wrong. But seasons aren't nearly so straightforward, at least not in any grounded, down-to-earth sort of way. We may base our official first day of a season on an equinox or a solstice, but that is no more precise a prognosticator of changing weather patterns than one's horoscope. Of course, on February 2nd, when we pull our gaze in from the sun and stars to look upon a drowsy woodchuck pulled rudely out of the ground, we hardly consider that the poor rodent has no more clue than we do. Being human, we like to plan for our futures, but when we put weather-related events on a calendar, from the John Bear Grease and the Birkebeiner to Grandma's Marathon and Hawk Ridge Weekend, we have no way of knowing whether the weather will cooperate, much less whether good or bad weather will be seasonal or unseasonal. People barely notice as spring evolves into summer. We're pretty calm about the transition from summer to fall, and we're resigned when fall turns to winter. Newspapers don't run whole sections with readers contributing signs of summer, fall, or winter. But by February, we're hungry for any evidence that spring is coming. These signs of spring have only peripherally to do with temperature. Our desperation for spring has to do with the black and white starkness of winter, with winter's cold silence except for the occasional howling wind, and with frozen stillness as animals retreat and even the most fluid substance, water itself, hardens into ice. So far more than just compiling a list of days with temperatures above freezing, the signs of spring we rejoice in have to do with color, sound, and movement. Flowers may provide us with vivid colors, frogs may make pleasing sounds, and opening lakes and rivers and an assortment of animals may delight us with movement, but it is birds that supply us with all three. And as if they realized how hungry we are for color, sound, and movement, birds adopt their brightest plumage, most intense singing, and most dramatic migration right when we need it most. In springtime. April showers bring May flowers, but we are more likely to notice the first robin of spring as a vivid male runs on a bare spot on our lawn or flies up to alight in a still bare tree and bursts into song. Even before I saw my first robin this year, I heard one singing in my backyard on Saturday as its song drifted through my still-closed windows. I looked out to a whole flock eating the last mountain ash berries, flying about and perching in the bare branches of our elm and maples, the first stirrings of territoriality prompting occasional squabbles. I couldn't help but smile at all this color and sound and movement. Most of us human Northlanders look out the window to experience much of our weather. Robins, with no thermostats or hot cocoa or electric blankets or indoor lighting, deal with the immediacy of weather every moment of their lives, realizing in their bones that weather is only statistically related to seasons, especially during transitions between seasons. So my first robins weren't nearly as surprised and disappointed by the next day's snowfall as we mere people were, even though ironically we humans are the ones who much more easily take shelter from the weather. Unlike us poor bare forked animals, robins come equipped with dense down underwear and a more zen-like attitude, satisfactorily equipped to deal with weather of all sorts. They may quiet down for a day or two or even a week or more until the snow melts again, but they're here to stay and they won't be spending the next few weeks desperately searching for signs of spring. For that, they need only look into a mirror. And who needs a mirror when you're a robin? They know who they are and what they are and why they are, and we're left to put on another sweater and gaze out the window at them in wonder and awe as we dream of color and sound and movement in the balmy days ahead. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.